Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. And as we do every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, gents. How you guys doing this morning?
Doing great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us on the program. Rex Road's a little laid up, though. Got some knee problems going on, Charles. Old age.
Yeah. What's going on, Joe? This old war injury.
Looks like a torn meniscus, but it's a walking up the stairs maybe injury. Yeah. Good times.
It was probably like a year or two ago. I was outside and I was walking the dogs, and I had a bug land on me, and it freaked me out. And I went to slap it really hard. And I like tore something in my shoulder.
Yeah, so keep an eye on you two.
It was awesome.
It's weird because we were such a picture of health at Michigan State.
Yes.
So weird.
Yeah, absolutely. Back in the Halloween candy eating days, that's over for you now, I hear. Supposedly, yeah. Allegedly.
Allegedly. We'll see how it goes for Rex Road on that standpoint. Is it over for Anthony Richardson? How about that for a transition? The Colts. Going with Joe Flacco moving forward, Richardson has started a total of 10 games for Indianapolis. He takes himself out of the game for a play last week, which I've never seen before at the quarterback position. What do you make of the situation right now with Flacco and Richardson in Indianapolis?
Well, if you're a Titans fan and you want to get rid of Levis, let's bring Flacco in. How many bodies does Flacco now have on his resume?
They're stacking up.
Zach Wilson, he went into the Jets, and all the Jets fans thought he looked better than Zach Wilson. Then he went to Cleveland, and he clearly looked better than Deshaun Watson, took them to the playoffs. Now Indianapolis, he's got a shot, honestly, to take them to the playoffs once he steps in for Richardson. I guess the only way I could really say how this is being absorbed, like when I talk to people across the league, I'm like, is this, how do you fix Richardson? Like, what do you guys think of this? Is this over? Pretty much everybody agrees. Like, if they're in the playoff picture, Richardson will stay on the bench. The second they're out of the playoff picture, Richardson goes right back in. So I don't think anybody sees this as like a permanent benching. It's just they're in a situation where they want to win football games. Obviously, Richardson tapping himself out was a terrible mistake. It was an even bigger mistake to admit it when he was asked why he did it. But I think there's a little bit of Bryce Young in this. It's let the kid take a step back, breathe a little bit, reset his mind. And it was funny. I actually had one AFC GM said to me, the problem I have with Richardson is his entire career in the NFL. He was learning, but as soon as he started to suffer injuries, it's like he's been rehabbing injuries. Something has been wrong with him virtually since he started. And he's just like, it takes a lot on you, the mental toll of like rehabbing, constantly dealing with this, then trying to learn, go out there, perform, dealing with social media, which, he said as a GM, that's one of the things that over the last few years they've really come to grapple with, is that now dealing with players, social media is such a huge part of how you deal with players, knowing that you can no longer ask them to turn it off. That's what they used to do, is just say, hey, when the season starts, can you guys just disconnect from that world and it'll be easier for you. It'll be easier for everybody. Just, shut out the noise. He's like, there's no more doing that. It's their lives. It's part of the fabric of who they are. So you have to know how their head is wrapped up and what people are saying, and how much is that affecting them. And, he's like, I'm sure there's a lot of that with Richardson as well. So, I think the problem though is I think Flacco will do well. And I think the Colts have a good enough roster to keep Richardson on the bench. I think they could be playoff eligible, through the rest of the season with Flacco because of who he is and how he operates. you'll see that offense will open up as it did when he's already come off the bench to play for the Colts, and they'll become a more vertical team. They'll be able to run the football, and they'll win some games. And that's going to be Richardson's biggest problem. So I think if he ends up sitting on the bench through the rest of the season, the same thing that always happens to Flacco is will happen again. He won't be a Colt next year. They'll figure out how they can get Richardson back into the starting lineup and not have someone over his shoulder that could potentially divide the locker room in 2025. He's not done. I'll just put it that way. He's not done. I know Joe's not a fan of this decision. I get it. I understand it. It's sort of the Levis conversation we had earlier this year. It's like winning versus development of a quarterback. And I would argue the grade here is much more steep than Will Levis, because at least Will Levis had played some football. Richardson really has not played a ton of football, and it's the whole Trey Lance conversation. Like, don't take guys who don't play a ton of football. Don't take guys who are constantly hurt, which he was even hurt in high school. He missed portions of his high school career hurt, and that's really what they're juggling right now.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like I'm the biggest thing I'm not a fan of is the way they talked about it when they drafted him, which absolutely was –
right,
how you should be thinking of it, and then not following through and saying, "Nah, I just start him right away." That's what I'm not a fan of. Like they sure. didn't, you know. It, so I know that this is part of a bigger discussion, Charles, in this league. But I don't know if I want to call it a crisis, but it's certainly a trend and a troubling one, just in terms of everything being accelerated to the point where people are playing earlier and then they're being discarded earlier, and
right.
And then they go into the, you know, they go into the trash heap, and some of them emerge, and some of them who could have had good careers never do.
Yeah, and it's, I think what people are grappling with is, you know, whether the NFL is a good place to develop a quarterback that needs a ton of development. It's like if you're going to draft a player who didn't have a ton of, you know, college football under their belt, particularly a quarterback, is the NFL a good place to bring a guy in, throw him to the wolves, and then go, well, we're just going to develop him, and eventually he'll turn into, you know, what we think he can be. And everybody's always – they think they've got the formula. When they make a pick like this, it's always a team that thinks that they know how to do it. They know how – we know how to crack the code. And then it's a horrible roller coaster ride. And I still think teams don't consider the other 52 players on the roster and how that's going to affect. It's in some ways, some organizations are very single-minded about it. It's like the GM is like, here's how I feel about it. And the coaches are like, here's how I feel about it. Then you have an owner that always weighs in, and no one's sitting there going, okay, well, let's think now about the other 52 players on the roster beyond this quarterback. And how are we going to handle the players that, I'll bring up Cleveland, for example. Going through this Deshaun Watson thing, everyone's focusing it so much through Deshaun Watson. But when you talk to, you know, other people across the league, they're like, why don't you ask Myles Garrett? Like, why don't you ask the players who are in what's supposed to be sort of the peak of their career, the prime of their career, sitting there feeling like they're wasting time over and over again. Go talk to Joe Thomas about his entire career in Cleveland and how many times he watched the Browns try to develop a quarterback or make a mistake at quarterback and sit there and go, okay, I'm an all pro again for nothing. like it's just, I'm never going to have the traction where I feel like my career, I reached some of the goals that I wanted to reach. That's, I think sometimes that's a conversation that people don't realistically have when it comes to, you know, drafting a Trey Lance, drafting a Zach Wilson and going, is he ready year one? I told you guys in the past on the show that the Jets' big, you know, admission privately after Zach Wilson flamed out there was they never should have put him on the field as a year one player. He should have been locked up in the garage, and, you know, they should have worked on everything they could mechanics wise, making sure he understood the offense, making sure he knew what it, you know, meant every day to be a quarterback when you show up and the things you have to do. It's a conundrum, but it is the cycle is what it is. And until teams meaningfully stop, you know, doing what they're doing and sit on quarterbacks, I don't think it's really, really ever going to change. I'll be very curious, and the injury plays into it because you're like, how much work can you really do physically? But I'll be very interested to see what J.J. McCarthy looks like next year for the Vikings, you know, because he's at the very least mentally, he's had the ability to sit there and process everything they do and study, you know, that Kevin O'Connell offense, which is the McVay offense, which is the Shanahan offense. But he'll have a whole year to sit there and really stare at it. And maybe not a whole year, but obviously from the draft until next year's camp or off season. So it's just, I'll be interested to see mentally how much more ahead of the curve he is. And having done that without the pressure of playing, you know, and the social media stuff, and is he, you know, he's a failure and he's not producing immediately. I don't know how you resolve it, but I think it's also the same question I was asking Marty Morningwig 20 years ago, 24 years ago, when I started covering the NFL about how do you figure out how to get a good quarterback? Nobody's ever come up with that answer, honestly.
So, Charles, it's reached disaster level for the Tennessee Titans. They get beat 52-14 by the Lions. They had one of the worst special teams days that I think I've ever seen by a National Football League team. They're 1-6. We'll see what Levis's status looks like for this week. But obviously, I mean, they're one of the worst teams in the NFL. How surprised are you that they're as bad as they have been to this point? And do you think right now they are the worst team in the NFL, or is Carolina worse?
Carolina's worse. I mean, Carolina at this point is willing to trade almost anyone on that team. I mean, there's maybe a half dozen players in Carolina where they're like, we really don't want to have a conversation about this guy, but everybody else we're probably willing to move realistically, like really actually ready to move on from the vast majority of the roster. I don't think you should feel that way. You know, in Tennessee, there's still quality players on the roster. I'm shocked. This was not at all what I anticipated, but if you had told me, okay, this is what's going to happen at quarterback, and then also this is what's not going to happen with the offensive line, I thought the offensive line would be much further ahead of where it ultimately was when the season started in terms of being able simply to protect a quarterback. I thought Levis would – I didn't see some of the things that Levis was doing in games and just the general problems. I didn't see that coming. I thought there was a step forward that we were going to see at the quarterback spot. It didn't happen, and I think that undermined, let's be real, I mean, it really undermined the entire team. I feel like the offensive line, the quarterback play really threw everything off kilter very quickly. And then obviously, you know, the injuries and Mason Rudolph coming in and I still think it is such a simple reason. It happens to franchises over and over every year where you see quarterback offensive line fail, especially in September and October, and you will see teams spiral really, really quickly, particularly if they're teams that don't have just like a ton of veteran leadership or the ability to switch gears and maybe do something offensively pretty quickly to make up for the problems that you're having out of the gate. It's just, you know, the Titans didn't have that. I don't think this is a coaching problem. I really don't. I think it is a quarterback resolution problem and a continuing to hammer on the offensive line problem. If you go back and look at the Lions, the things that the Lions resolved, really that franchise's turn, I think, was when they just started saying, you know what, it doesn't matter. We're going to keep investing in the offensive line. We're going to keep working on the offensive line. And as that unit, they started to make some of the right choices and stack the right choices on top of each consecutive year. I felt like that's really when it all started to pay off for Dan Campbell, was when that offensive line really turned a corner. And I think most successful franchises, the model is still build from the lines. Offensive line, defensive line, when you get those right, things will start to get easier in your organization. And it'll be a lot easier to have quarterback success when the players in front of them can have excel in the run game and can block, can pass block for your quarterback. Your quarterbacks will tend to look better.
Well, speaking of the Lions, Charles, I would agree with that. Also, I look at them and I still think I can't see that team doing what it wants to do with zero really zero edge presence and the need
right.
to pressure and be creative to try to get after quarterbacks. Do you anticipate, because I mean, we've talked about Harold Landry here. There's Big Z in Cleveland. It seems like
right.
the big guys, Garrett and Crosby, may be untouchable. Do you anticipate a move there? And also anything else? It's been a pretty – I feel like the trading deadline keeps getting a little better, and this year we've had a lot of big ones even, you know, before we get right up against it. Are we going to see any other earth-shaking things happening on that front?
The trade deadline, I think people should stop looking at it as a snapshot of, like, a week or 3 or 4 days. Really, the trade deadline now, I think, starts mid-October. That's when teams start to move pieces. And I think there's been like eight, nine trades since mid-October. So if you look at those as trade deadline moves, it's been a super active trade deadline already. Like, if nothing happens through November 5th, there's still almost double-digit trades this year in the NFL, which never used to happen. Most people, especially, you know, I'm 47. Like, I remember years where it was just like, you didn't even know. Like, you were
you didn't even know it existed.
Yeah, you're like, whatever. Like, when was that? Yeah, nobody's moving anything. Oh, my God, someone's going to flip a pick for a player? That's crazy. And then I remember when people started trading players for players, and I was like, this is the most insane thing I've ever seen. Like, how can you trade football players for football players in the middle of a season? But, yeah, I mean, it's your question about the Lions, I think Za'Darius Smith obviously is the big – there's. I would be surprised if he doesn't get dealt because he's not going to be back in Cleveland next year. And there's there's multiple teams that I think are interested in him. I think Baltimore, I think Buffalo, I think Detroit. Surely there are other teams that are not readily obvious that I think would be interested in acquiring him. So the market is there for Cleveland to get something out of him. And I think he's a quality acquisition for any of these teams that are like, hey, it's a mercenary situation, but let's go get the guy and, you know, potentially win a Super Bowl. If it doesn't work out, you know, we'll part company once the offseason arrives and he gets his opportunity to be a free agent. So it's, you know, I think from the standpoint of the Lions making a move, that's probably the number one available guy. I think, you know, look, there's Trey Hendrickson. I'll say this, there's enough teams that have brought up Trey Hendrickson with the Bengals to make me think that there might be traction there. That might be the surprise that no one sees happening because the Bengals, that's not their MO. They don't trade guys in situations like this. But he really wants out. He really wants his contract adjusted. And they could really get value out of him, the Bengals could. And if they don't deal him now, it's going to go into the off season. He's going to make more noise. There's going to be more issues. And I think they get less. Frankly, I do. I think it's kind of the situation where it was like the Raiders trading Davante Adams a year too late. They should have traded him at the deadline, you know, in 2023 instead of 2024. And I think what they would have gotten out of him at the negotiating table would have been different. But they sat on it a year too long. I think the same thing could ultimately happen with Henderson, but that's a name that pops up. You know, kind of an interesting one that is a little more recent, you know, Travis Etienne, he's hurt, you know, there's a couple of issues with him right now, but I still think his age and what he can do at the running back position. I don't think it's going to happen, but I would not put it out of like completely put it out of the realm of possibility that a team with a dynamic offense could go, hey, you know what, let's go get this guy because he's a running back that can do a few different things and could give us an offensive spark and maybe a way to scheme a little differently as we move through the remainder of the season. I still think there's a chance Cooper Kupp gets dealt, although it's certainly lessened now that they beat the Vikings and, you know, feel like they've turned the season around. So I think the Lions do make an acquisition. I'd be stunned if they don't. If they don't make an acquisition, that would probably be the one team where I'm like, they'll definitely do something. It feels like Detroit's that team because the offense is cranked. I mean, they're ready. I don't know what else you can do other than, you know, say to Jameson Williams, hey, can you not get suspended slash, you know, can we just stop with all the crap that's going on with you? Like, it's like one thing after another and just keep it together for the balance of this season because we got an opportunity to be a team that could put, you know, 40 on anybody the rest of the way. defensively, yeah, it puts them in a situation where it makes a ton of sense to go out there and spend some of those assets, knowing that you got to take advantage of this window right now when you got it.
Charles, should we be believers in Russell Wilson and the Pittsburgh Steelers? What do you make of the way he's playing?
Man, I'll say this. Like, I was wrong. Like, I did not like the move because I thought, you know, Justin Fields had done enough to keep that job. They were winning football games. Granted, I knew they just were not scoring a lot of points, and I knew there was just that gnawing feeling that they had where they're like, this feels like the offensive production feels too much like 2023 when we felt like we were locked in jail, you know, scoring points. We just were not a team that could even consistently get to the 20-point mark. I think they felt that way still with Fields, where it's like, we're doing some things better, and yes, he has this upside, but we're not accessing the upside as much as we feel like we should be at this point. And Mike never moved off Russ. He just didn't. The entire way, it was always like Mike always felt like he was moving back to Russell Wilson. And I question, like, is there just enough there? The second the guy walks in, the offense looked better. And I'm like, wow. Is it George Pickens all of a sudden, you know, goes from just this up, down, you know, oh, my God, is he even going to be on the team after the trade deadline, to all of a sudden you're like, wow, he's realizing all the, you know, the ceiling parts of George Pickens that we really like. But really beyond that, I mean, the running games look better. The offensive line has looked better. There's been times where you see Russ throw passes and you're like, wow, what a clean pocket. I am, because it's just, the proof is there. I mean, what we have seen. So now, does it mean that they go on a run, and is he this factor that changes everything for Pittsburgh? I don't know. I mean, if you said Pittsburgh makes the playoffs and they lose, and but Mike Tomlin finishes the season with a winning record, and it's the same thing we've heard over and over. It's the number one hit played on the jukebox every year. Like, yeah, I'd believe that. Like, that would not surprise me if that's ultimately how it goes for Pittsburgh. But I don't know how you can look at them right now and not say that, yeah, Mike Tomlin's right, and my criticism of this change was probably wrong, and we'll see where this goes the rest of the way.
Yeah, and Arthur Smith, as we're seeing, can coordinate some offense too. Speaking of him, Charles, there's been, you know, in this town, you know, this is what happens, right?
Oh, like, here we go. When
the preseason,
we're gonna do this.
Well, okay. Just a simple question. Yeah, you know, the preseason optimism turns into, God, Vrabel was such an idiot. And now there's a lot of, I'm sorry, Vrabel. But I just want to ask you, where's Mike Vrabel gonna be next year?
It's a good question, because I'm not sure. To answer that question, you have to answer, like, what is the hiring cycle going to look like? Like, where do you see – I would ask you. I mean, you look at it right now. Where do you see jobs being open? And I thought
Philly for a minute, but maybe not so much anymore.
Right. Now it looks better, right? You know, and because so much of this has to be written. It's the end of October. There are a million things that are going to happen between now and next season, and there's a ton of failure that's going to occur that we don't see, or there's going to be some mediocrity where we're like, well, they probably won't fight. You know, we'll move on from their staff, and then you'll have an owner that goes, nope, time to pull the plug. Don't like the way that this looks. Sort of like what happened with the Titans and Vrabel. So, you know, it's. I sit here and I'm like, okay, the Raiders are 2-6. There's no way, right? They pull the plug on Pierce. Come on, man. It's Mark Davis. Absolutely. There's a chance the Raiders could ultimately be open. Like, I don't want to say this, but like Jim Harbaugh and this, the heart arrhythmia thing is concerning with the Chargers. Mm. That's concerning. Like, he's talking about having his third heart procedure, you know, now, and people are asking questions about pacemakers, and I think people are just kind of like, oh, whatever, he'll take medication. We'll see, you know, but it's a concerning enough thing that if he's having arrhythmia, like, during games and it's affecting him, like, there, I don't want to report this. I'm not reporting this, but that to me could be the total shock that we don't see coming, is that, hey, you know, Jim Harbaugh does have some real health concerns, and is he going to continue coaching? You know, is this going to get resolved to the point where he's definitely going to be the coach there next year. I think people should be, you know, paying more attention to that. That's a real deal that's going on with the Chargers right now. Let me think.
Dallas, New Orleans, Jacksonville.
I mean, Jacksonville, right? Jacksonville is a situation where now they're selling off players. I mean, when you move off of an offensive lineman, granted, who's not going to be there, but you don't just move off of a starting tackle. Yes, he's not going to be in Jacksonville next year. That still affects your outlook, your depth, and what can happen there moving forward. Where the fact we're talking about Travis Etienne potentially being available, there's a reason why that's happening. How it affects Vrabel's candidacy, I don't know. We have to see how it goes the rest of the season. I have to know who else could potentially be on that list. Everybody's going to talk about Bill Belichick. Everyone's going to talk about Ben Johnson. Bobby Slowick right now has kind of hit a wall in Houston as an OC there. I don't know. You know, you're like, ooh, okay, maybe Bobby Slowick needs another year. You know, Drew Petsing and Arizona was one that was kind of a low-key dark horse guy who could pop up on coaching lists, and it's been up and down there so far offensively. So I'm like, who else is on that list and potentially available, and who's the owner? What's the roster look like? If you're bringing in Vrabel, to me, first and foremost, I think you have to have a defense that he's going to be able to walk in day one, access, you're up and running. Like, we're up. And – you know, so if I'm looking at franchises and I'm like, where's the Vrabel fit? Show me the team that has the assets right now to be a top tier, top five, top seven, top eight defense. If they just have the right coaching and scheme in place, that's Mike. If it's a, hey, you got, you know, a long journey to go offensively and all these, I would, you know, I'm like, really? Okay, you're going to bring in Mike, and how are you going to resolve the other side of the ball? Do you have a quarterback? All these different things. So, let's wait and see. It's still early, you know. I don't think anybody can meaningfully answer for sure what's going to happen in some of these places and whether – let me ask you this. Are we sure Bill Belichick's going to come back? Like, I'm not. I think so, because he's got the ego and he still wants to chase Shula's record. But I do think he's enjoying this.
He's great on TV, man. He's awesome.
Yeah. And the opportunities that he's getting are – endless. I mean, he could probably work anywhere he wanted, you know, and he can pick and choose. He's going to have a million things sort of laid at his feet as he continues to operate in the media world. And he's been so good. I think he enjoys the freedom to say whatever he wants, which he does regularly.
Yeah, he does.
And he really likes that. And I'm like, maybe he'll sit there and go, you know what? Maybe I want to go back to, you know, grinding and doing all this stuff. Maybe the Shula record isn't that important to me. I tend to think it is, but I wonder if you could sit down and have a real conversation with him and get him to tell you, is this maybe a little more enjoyable than you thought? Are there maybe other things, alternatives to how you want to finish out your operation in the world of football that you didn't realize existed? And that's part of what we're seeing right now.
Brady and Belichick, media darlings, as we all predicted. Charles?
If I could, I would be like, he's a permanent fixture on the Manning cast. Like,
I agree.
Let's make it to three.
It's great.
For the entire game, we'll do it the rest of the game, we'll have it those three, instead of these rotating in of players and,
totally,
you know, Hollywood or whatever. I'd be like, okay, he's a fixture there. Where else can we put him? You know, let's fill up his week and put him in different spots. And let him operate. I bet you he'd make more money than he's making coaching. Man, and he had a bag. He was making the bag. I mean, 20-plus million is the biggest secret contract. No one could ever get the figures right, but he was definitely making over 20 million this season with the Patriots. He's like McAfee level. Like, if he's like, I'm staying here, let me – he could start a podcast tomorrow, and it would be like the Heights podcast, like shopping the Heights podcast around. Like, people would be like, yeah, six figures easily, you know,
yeah.
30 million plus.
Maybe a dating podcast too.
Ooh, you know?
Dude, and we don't even get into that whole thing. Like, that's a whole other, like, lifestyle for him at this point. You know, do you really want to go back to coaching? I don't know. Whatever. Let's not. Joe, why do you even come out?
Duck, duck, goose.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy. Charles, happy Halloween. Thanks for taking time to be with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
I appreciate it. Oh, real quick, are you full candy bar households, or are you mini?
I'm mini candy bar households.
And miser.
When if I made that Rex Road money, I'd be full candy bar household.
We don't do it either. But I appreciate it.
Are you full candy bar?
We made the switch. Wow. Made the switch. And it's, yeah, we're that house. Where we see the kids like trying to make one more pass before they head in.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know I've seen.
It's like, wow, it's your fourth time here.
Yeah. I'm like, I know I've seen this Dora the Explorer like four times already in the last 45 minutes. So, all right, guys. Have a good night.
Charles Robinson, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll react to what Charles had to say there coming up next. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Got some tickets to give away to see Cyndi Lauper tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. Be caller number 6, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller 6 will win a pair of tickets to see Cyndi Lauper at Bridgestone Arena coming up tomorrow night. Appreciate Charles Robinson for being with us. A lot of votes for where Vrabel is going to be the next head coach on the text line, Joe. One for Dallas. Trevor asking if Robert Kraft would fire the coach after 1 year and possibly go after Vrabel. And how about this one? If the Titans get a new GM, maybe the Titans could rehire Vrabel. That would be interesting. That's from an unnamed texter.
Yeah, I love that one. Yeah. And
Mike,
if you're
I'm already paying you anyway. You want to just come on back and be the head coach again?
Maybe a little make up and everybody be friends again.
Yeah.
That'd be something.
You can bring Todd Downing with you if you want to.
Yeah, I don't think the Patriots are, that's apparently that's been the plan for years secretly. Speaking of the secret Belichick contract, the Mayo thing, some have said this year that was a long-term thing. I don't think they're going to give up on him. They knew they were going to stink. Dallas for sure is. And how about Jacksonville, though? What if Vrabes comes back to the AFC South? You know, a big question there, and it's really, it's probably the question I should have asked Charles instead of what I did ask, which is how much of a commodity is he? Like, a year ago, we're all talking about you would never fire. And if you did, you better trade him. And if you know, he's going to have five jobs of his choice. And again, we said that. A lot of people in the NFL said that didn't happen that way. How is he when we get to the cycle, when there will inevitably be openings, there always are, how high is he on the list of attractive candidates? I'm very interested to find out.
Well,
I don't know.
People are going to look at the offensive guys first, right? Like Ben Johnson. You know, it is interesting.
Yes.
Like the Texans don't look great on offense right now. I mean, Stroud's playing well. They're not lighting the world on fire, though. And they just lost Stephon Diggs to a torn ACL. So I'm interested to see what the Slowick things looks like. But I'll say this. Like, go look at some of the hires this past offseason. You know, Dan Quinn is a retread in his second head coaching job. Is a defensive guy. It's going awfully well for him in Washington. You know, Mike McDonald, not an offensive guy. Defensive guy. And it's not like Seattle is lighting the world on fire, but they're 4-4 and they're right there with everybody else in the division. So I'm just saying, like, you know, the defensive coach, the second time head coach that a lot of people want to avoid in today's NFL conversation, it's not going horribly for those two right now.
Defense making a comeback all the way around. I mean, and not a second time, but like Raheem Morris, defensive guy of Atlanta, things are going pretty well there, for example. So yeah, I'm with you.
Is Brian Flores going to get a job? I mean, there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot more that goes into that one. But yeah,
right. No, so yeah. So I'm with you. I think obviously Ben Johnson is of high interest, and that whole thing with Washington was weird, and Washington trashed him, and it's worked out well for them. But I think absolutely he will be coveted, and it's a good call on Slug. Sometimes it's like, you know, when the iron's hot, you want to strike. I still think he'll ultimately be a guy who can have a shot. But I can't. After Ben Johnson, you know, I think Vrabel might be as attractive as anyone, especially given how this year has played out.
Arthur Smith.
Well,
I don't think he's going to get it.
Yeah, probably not immediately. But you know, I do think that, like, I enjoy watching Pittsburgh. Some of it looks familiar, and you're reminded that that dude is a good OC for sure.
Yep. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Preds back in action tonight, taking on the Edmonton Oilers. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025. If you guess a goal score for tonight's game, you win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll do that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 106.3 The Game.
It's time for Preds Picks to Click.
And a shot at a score.
Do you think you know who will score a goal in tonight's Predators game?
Little give and go.
Shoot your shot for a chance to win Preds tickets. Call 615-737-1025 now. It's Pick to Click, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Now, look, the listeners have not gotten on the board yet in the competition, but that doesn't mean that you all have to be scared of participating in the competition. So give us a call, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Call in, and if you guess a goal score, you win a pair of tickets to the Preds game, a future Preds home game. You could be the first one to break through in the competition. Rex Road still leading the way. Three correct answers. Nick and I both have one. Listeners still looking for correct answer number one in the competition. So we'll see how that goes. And if the listeners at any point here can get on the board. Preds taking on the Edmonton Oilers tonight. Puck drop at 7 o'clock. Pregame at 6 o'clock here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. And as we have mentioned, no Connor McDavid for the Edmonton Oilers. The Oilers will be without McDavid for the next 2 to 3 weeks. So Predators taking on the Oilers without McDavid in the fold tonight. We have people now calling in. Nick, what is our caller's name here? Before I just hand Rex Road the first pick, which I'm not going to do. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Caleb to the program. Caleb, thanks for calling in. Who's your pick to click for the Nashville Predators?
How's it going, guys? Just first off, want to say I like the show, guys. Appreciate you guys giving me something to listen to every morning.
Thank you.
I'm going to take Rex Rhodes' pick that he wants, Philip Forsberg.
Ooh, I like it. Forsberg, the selection. Thanks for calling in, Caleb. Forsberg off the board. Rex Rhodes, you're up next. Your pick to click for the Predators.
Because I wanted Stamkos, and I'm taking Stamkos.
Wow. Going with Steven Stamkos. Forsberg, Stamkos off the board. Nick Kieser, your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators.
He's been itching for one, I feel like. Give me Jonathan Marchessault.
Going with Jonathan Marchessault tonight. I will go Michael McCarron. Michael McCarron will score tonight.
Oh, big sexy time.
Off the board, Michael McCarron will score a goal tonight for the Nashville Predators. Forsberg, Stamkos, Marchessault, McCarron. Just let the record show that I had Roman Josi and Ryan O'Reilly and Tommy Novak and all these people available to me.
And Gus,
who is scoring goals left and
right. Just scored.
Right now. And I went McCarron. Make sure you take note if that happens tonight.
Oh, absolutely. If you get this one right, then that might signify that someone's going to finally beat me in this thing.
Mm. Or maybe. It may signify at the end of the night that I'm a complete moron. We'll see how it goes on how the game plays out tonight. Big one for the Preds. They're 3-5-1. You know, we talked with Derek McKenzie earlier. They are falling behind in some of these games. I think it's been for a couple of different reasons. But there are still, I think, a lot of adjustments to be made just in terms of their defense pairings, how they're playing together, taking care of the puck. They're still giving up some odd man rushes at times that are just not going to end well if you continue to do that. But, Joe, one thing that I think is a big positive from the last two games specifically, it looks to me like Marchessault and Stamkos starting to settle in. I know Monday night was a different deal for Stamkos because of the situation and where he was at and all those things. But I thought he played really, really well 5-on-5. And as a team, they need their 5-on-5 game to pick up, and it does look like those two are starting to settle in here.
Yeah, you know, there is I'm confident, and this is part of why I picked him, because maybe it's tonight, maybe it's the game after the big return and the emotion of all that. I think there's at least a mini avalanche of Stamkos scoring on the way. You know, yeah. I'm pretty confident in that. And obviously, you know, Marchessault was a little hard on himself, and he you got him going. I mean, it's you know, everything is, I think, sort of starting to come together. The overall game of this team is not there yet. You know, Derek McKenzie talked earlier, the first period stuff. I mean, it's, you want the energy, you know, they're trying to figure out how to start better, but the overall game, you're starting to see it come into focus a little bit. And I think part of that will be Stamkos not hitting posts anymore and starting to find some hit the back of the net.
And we'll see if that begins to happen tonight. Preds taking on the Oilers tonight at 7 o'clock. Pre-game at 6 o'clock here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. That's going to do it for us today here on the program. We'll have full reaction to that game tomorrow. Look ahead to a busy weekend of football in our area as well. Chasing Big Joe is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.